Okay. Continue with the Mishnah. We left off on the sugya on Chavches. We finished the sugya of Kilayim, and we also spoke on the sugya of Zagarat Gemara there on Chavches Amar Aleph with Rishusay Olisrefis Ksusay. We went into Baal Tashchis. I think we pretty much covered that sugya. So we'll go to the Mishnah. Not alas hamachta. Mishnah Chavches Amar Aleph, not alas hamachta. So he took the machta. This is already in preparation of the avodah of the Haromas Hadesh. They used to take the ashes from the Mizbeach. But before they did that, they went through the Azorah. Posach es ha-pish-pish. They opened up the little door that was in the Beis HaMoikud, which we discussed earlier. They didn't open up the gate of the Azorah, because that you don't open until Alois HaShachar. V'nichnas mi Beis HaMoikud la'azor. V'nichnasu ha-kohanim ha-charov. The kohanim went after the Mamuna, the appointee. U'shtei avukos shel or b'yado. And they had two torches. So the Rambam points out this was not on Shabbos. This is the whole controversy, why they didn't do it on Shabbos. But the Rambam Bayos brings down that they didn't carry torches on Shabbos. Poshe Pshat is that it's Muktzeh. But the Kesef Mishnah asks that Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. It's a lot to do with the Rabbanon Beis HaMikdash. So the Kesef Mishnah holds that this Mishnah should apply on Shabbos as well. Should be allowed to hold the torches. So he says that they had fixed neiros there, so it was like it was no need to be doiche. And that's the case of Mishnah Shita, that Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash is dechuya. It's pushed off. And therefore, if you have a way to do it without being doiche the Shavuos, you have an obligation to do so. Many of the Rishonim are mashma, that ain't the way the word of the Chazal is Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. It doesn't exist. There is no Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash. Which basically means the whole concept of a shvus b'makom tzarech avoda was not given. The whole thing wasn't given. Period. We should mistavra like that. That it's we don't find that they had to make a shtavlus. So therefore, the more simplistic way to learn the Rambam Bayaz is that the carrying of the candles is a shalav d'oraisa. Because since when you move a candle, the flame goes up and down. So that Rishonim will hold it, that's not just Muktzeh, that's Havoah. Moving a candle on Shabbos, the Shiloh of Havoah. There was a whole tumult about the light bulbs. Now they have the Shabbos lamps, but those are better, they're fluorescent. The light bulbs also was, there was a whole mavucha about it. If you treat a light bulb like it's just Muktzeh, so then L'tzerech Gufoy Mekoymoy, you'd be allowed to move it. Like any Klishe Melachtelis. But if you treat it like an avuka, then you wouldn't be allowed to move it. The reason why you couldn't move an avuka was both for Muktzeh and for Havoah. So that's more mistavra to learn the Rambam like that. So therefore they couldn't do this on Shabbos. Nechlekul ishtekitis. The Kohanim broke themselves up to two groups to check the Azorah. Eilu mahalchem b'achsadra derech mizrach. The one group went on the east, in the achsadra, in the rooms, along the overhang of the Azorah. Ve'elu mahalchem b'achsadra derech Ma'ariv. And they would trek their way through, that was the din, to trek the Azorah. Ad shemagim lo yisei chavitim. Till they came to the place of the people that are making the chavitim for the korban of the Kohen Gadol. Shehigia, when the elu ve'elu, omru shalom akol shalom. They would ask each other, is everything okay in the Azorah? And they would answer affirmatively. Again, this is all part of Kavod HaMikdash. There wasn't a real chash that something is missing, but this is all part of the Kavod HaMikdash, which we discussed earlier. Okay, so now they're going to do the Haromas Hadesh. Mi shezochol litroim es ha-mizbeach yitroim. The one who was zoiche to do the trumas ha-mizbeach, he's the one that does it. Who yitroim? Now the Radvaz explains what's the chiddush in the Mishnah. Of course, if he got the avodah, he's the one that does it. But based on what he says, the pshat that he shouldn't give it to somebody else because it's a bizoyan to give away an avodah. I would say that the Mishnah here is saying a more fundamental insight, because when we discussed originally the pious, the fact that they had the girl who gets what avodah, we explained it wasn't just a matter of practicality. I brought down from the Teres Koyanim, from the Sifri and Parashas Korach, avodas matona etin kunaschem, that a Koyan is just somebody that's roy to be chosen to do avodah. But till they won the lottery, they were a czar. Meaning, the Sifro says, yochol barvuvia. You would think any Koyan could come and do avodah. Tamalim avodas matona etin kunaschem. Which means you have to be appointed to be there. In other words, once you're a Koyan, you could be validated. A Zohar can't be validated to do Avodah. So the Goyal wasn't just a way of practically dividing the Avodahs. The Goyal was necessary to appoint the Koyan to be able to do Avodah. And that's why they always had a process. Originally they had a race. The race also wasn't just practical. The race was you won the race, and now you got appointed to do the Avodah. So in other words, without an appointment, you weren't ready to do Avodah. Which, by the way, very clearly explains also the whole concept of Ben Grisha B'chalutzin. In both directions. Notice when we discussed it in the beginning of Masechta, I said, that's the pshat, hava mini yasas Ben Grisha B'chalutzin tachtov. So we asked the kasha, how can you take a coin, make him into Ben Grisha B'chalutzin? It's a genetic thing. So we use this to answer that. Meaning, since every coin needs to be appointed, so we're not taking away the fact that you're a Kohen, but we'll take away the ability for you to be appointed to Avodah. We don't have to change your genetic makeup. You're a Kohen. You're a Kohen minus the appointment to do Avodah. It also sheds light on the other way around. Baruch Hashem Cheloi. If a Chol does Avodah, right? If a Chol does Avodah, the halacha is until we find out that he's not, that he's a cholol, the avodah is kosher. How does that work? He's a cholol. The teretz is, because since he had a cheskes koyin at the time, because of that cheskes koyin, we appointed him to do avodah. See, he was an appointee. He was an appointee. That explains why Rav the Rishonim hold that once we find out he's a cholol, then it's possible. What's the difference? He's the same guy. In the morning, he was a Ben Grisha B'chalutza. The Avodah is kosher. Now we found out that he's a Cholol. He did Avodah after. He's a Knacker. He kept on working. Now the Avodah in the afternoon is possible. No, there's a Rambam that's Cholol. But that's Rav Rishonim hold that once we find out that he's a Cholol, the Avodah is possible. That's why the Gemara Makkos says a Shaila, if you have a Kohen Gadol, you find out that he's a Cholol, it's called Mesa Kahuna. It's like he died. It's not Butler. Remember the more the discussion. Do we look at it like there was never a Kohen Gadol here? Or do we look at it like, remember, you have a guy killed somebody, he's an Ori Miklut, and now we find out that the Kohen Gadol is a Chol. So obviously he's going to be off his duties. Do we look at it like Mesa Kahuna, and therefore the Ritzach leaves the Ori Miklut? Or do we look at it like Butler Kahuna, which means there was never a Kohen Gadol, and then the halacha is, he never goes out of the Ori Miklat. A guy who goes into the Ori Miklat when there was no Kohen Gadol, he never leaves the Ori Miklat. That's the halacha. So the Gemara in Makkos Yud Beis has a shaila. If we find out that the Kohen Gadol is a cholol, do we look at it like Mesa Kuhuna? Because since Tavoid did it till now, it's kosher. So it's not retroactive. Now he becomes possible. There is a Rambam, the Rambam is Shvei, how he learns the Gemara there. Because the Rambam actually goes, if a Chol B'dievet does Avodah later, it's also B'dievet Kosher. So then L'chara, nothing happened. We find out he's a Chol. But Rav the Rishonim hold that once you find out the Chol is a Chol, now is Avodah is possible. From now on, Avodah is possible. The Shalos, what do you mean? The same Pasuk, Baruch Hashem Cheloi. Why should it make a difference before or after? We're not talking about allowing him to do avodah. We're talking about b'di'evit if he did avodah. But the Teretz is, according to this, very simple. Because once we find out it's a cholol, he's not an appointed kohen. He's a kohen that's no longer an appointee. So then, according to this, you can learn our sugi very simple, the Mishnah. He has to do the Haram HaSadash. If it would just be a matter of administrative practicality, that we have to give the avodah, it has to be a fair type of division, then if I want the Haram HaSadash, it's a personal thing. I could come to my buddy and say, you know what, I'm tired, you take it. Right? But if you learn it's taka minui, so then once you won the lottery, it's your avodah, you cannot give it to another kohen. That other kohen will be a zor to do the avodah. So then that would be a simple way to read the Mishnah. Mi shezocha litroim es hamizbeach, hu yitroim. So the Chadva says he can't give it to somebody else. The Chadva is learning it's just a din d'rabbana. It's a bizoyin. It doesn't look good that he's giving avodah away. The way we're explaining, it could be more than a d'rabbana. In other words, you can't give the avodah over because you're the kohen now for the Haram HaSadash. The other guy is not. The meaning is the Raisa. The Sifra learns out of a pasuk. Avodas matona eten kunasa. Okay. Says the Gemara. Vehem oim rimloi. The Kohanim would tell the person that's doing the Truma Sadesha. Have a zoyer shaloi tiga bekli. Be careful that you shouldn't touch the kli. So the Ravid here explains, if you look at the Ravid, lo yishyesh isa benegiyas kli shavis. El chayshim en shem yovei lechato isa sadesh en bolei kiddush. He says, not that there's an isa. So the Ravid learns that there really is a, and that's the reason why I had to warn him. By other Ravidus, we don't find that they warn a guy, don't do it before kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. It's poshet. By a Haram HaSadesh, because there's no real issue to him to touch the kli shavas before. Therefore, they would warn him, don't touch it. That's him, he's allowed to make a hadin to touch it. So the Briska Rav asks, we find that avoida begins from when the kohen picks up the kli to do the avoida. The avoida begins from v'lokach. We learn out of v'lokach. V'lokach es hamacheles, v'lokach. That the avodah begins. So the Briska Rav asks, why over here is it any more kal for him to pick up the machta? For him to pick up the machta for the Haram HaSadesh. Notice the Rishonim are saying the reason why they have to warn him here, Tizor Shalitiga Bakli, is because really there's no issue to pick up the klisharas. Right, what's wrong? He's not doing the avodah yet. The whole issue would only be if he starts doing the avodah. So the Briska Rav asks, what do you mean? We find that every avodah begins from the time that you pick up the kli to do the avodah. So I was thinking a simple pshat. There's a big difference between Haram HaSadesh and all the other avodahs that you do with a kli. Because if you look here, what is the shear of Haram HaSadesh? What's the shear that you have to take for Haram HaSadesh? So, Roiv the Rishonim hold based on the Gemara and Yuma, the shear is a koimetz. The shear is a handful. Right? A handful. In fact, there are some achronim want to learn that the machta, the kli that they used to scoop up the ashes, was actually custom made to the koimets of the kohen. But most hold not like that. Most hold they were standard size kalim machtas in the base of English. The shear was a koimets. Now the Gemara in Yuma says that the shear is a koimetz, a handful. Pashtus, it means the handful of the kohen that's doing the avodah. Right? So, but yet, they obviously scooped up with the machta. So the machta had to have at least the handful of the kohen. And that's how they explain all the contradictions. Because Rashi, many places, says maloi machta. And we find the Gemara Numa says the shear is a koimetz. The teretz is, it was anywhere from a koimetz to the shear malay machta. Meaning, the koimetz was not a maximum amount, it was a minimum amount. That was how much they had to take. So it comes out, really every avodah that was done with the koimetz was done with the hands. Yodai shal koyen kli shavas. The hand of the koyen is a kli shavas. So really, if lo yotzer you had a koyen, that he had a steel hand, he'd be able to take the deshen with his bare hands. That would have been really the most optimum way, be'etzem. Because it's heirim aloi kumtzei. It's like a mincha. The shear is a shear of his handful. It's just, it's a yefsher. It's not shayach. The Rishonim explained that. It's not shayach to do it with his hands. So he did it with a machta. So he did it with a machta, but the shear was a kindness. So I want to say a portion of the Torah. When do we say that when you pick up the kli, that's the beginning of the avodah? That's where the avodah intrinsically requires a kli. So then the kli is part of the avodah, taking the kli. Because that is, the avodah requires the kli. So then you'd require to wash your hands from the kiyo prior to picking up the kli, meikah hadin. But over here, the avodah really is maloi kumtzei. The kli is only being used as a hechsher because you can't get your hands burnt. Right? Because you can't get your hands burnt, you have to use a kli. So then the kli is not part of the avodah. Picking up the kli. Memela, even before he washed his hands from the kiyor, me'ikir hadin, he'd be allowed him. That's what the Rishonim mean here. He's all, be careful, don't do it, because we don't want you to do the avodah, but be'etzem, picking up the kli, would be mutter, even without washing the hands from the kiyor. The Rishonim are explaining that the reason why they have to tell him, Zoya, we don't find my other avoiders. They said, don't do avoiders before you do the kli. Because here he's just touching the kli sharas. There's no real isser to touch the kli sharas. It's just we're afraid he'll do the kli sharas. So the kasha, the brisker of his asking, taking the kli sharas is a haskalas avoider. The teretz is, this is what I'm trying to say, is when is taking the kli sharas haskalas avoider? With avoider intrinsically requires a kli sharas. So then, taking the klisha, here the avodah really is with his hand. The shear is moloi kumtzei. It's just the efsher. He can't pick up the coals with his hands because it's going to burn. So we go ahead and we take a kli. In which case, the kli is not intrinsic chelik of the avodah. And that's why there wouldn't have been a din midaraisa that he has to wash his hands from the kiyor prior to picking up the kli. So din the rabbana on Izoyah. That's why it was a zero's bound. Says the Mishnah, till you wash your hands in the kiyo. Okay? Now here the Rambam actually learned, this is not part of what they told him. Some Rishonim learned, V'harei ha-machta is part of what they told him, where the machta was. V'harei ha-machta nesuna b'miktsaya. The machta that they used for the deshen was in the corner. Bein on the western side of the kevish. In other words, the mizbeach stuck out eight amas on each side of the kevish. It was wider, so the machta was in the corner, in the corner between the kevish and the mizbeach. Ein shemadum nichnasimai. Nobody would go in with this kohen that would be doing that amas hadeshen, because you're not allowed to go into this place. Unless you're doing avoda, v'loy ne'er biyadoi, wouldn't have a candle. Elo mahalach lo ha'marocha, he would go to the light of the marocha. Lo yoyuroyin oisay, v'lo yishoyim kolay, they didn't hear him. Ad sho yishoyim kolay eitz, she also ben katan muchni l'kiyo. Ben katan muchni, he made the pulley system. For the kiyah, this is the way Rav Yishanim learned. The purpose of that was the water in the kiyah should not become possible belina. The kiyah is a klishas. So the water in the kiyah would become possible belina. So he made a pulley system where they would lower the kiyah into the main mikveh, below it. And that would connect to the main mikveh. The melee would be not possible belina. Huh? Yeah, it's still dark. The heimoyim migia kiddush adayim v'raglayim in akio. Now this actually fits with the Rambam that holds that Aromas HaDeshem was done before Alois HaShachar. So it seems to the Rambam Shita that it was done before Alois HaShachar. There's a big mevucha. If Aromas HaDeshem was done before Alois HaShachar or after Alois HaShachar. So we'll get into that issue. Because L'chaira, if it was done after Alois HaShachar, there would be no need for him to lower the Mukhni again. It says they lowered it again afterwards. Now, if he did Aromas HaDeshem before Alois HaShachar, then it makes sense that after the Kohen washed his hands from the Kiyo, he would have to lower it again so that for the rest of the Avodah, the water should be kosher. If he did Aromas HaDeshem after Alois HaShachar, then the water in the Kiyo wouldn't be possible in anymore anyway. Because once they lowered it for Aromas HaDeshem, which was after Alois HaShachar, there's no psulina. So in other words, it's sort of dictated by the Mishnah, the fact that they lowered the Mukhni after he washed his hands, they lowered it again, seems to prove that Aromas Deshen was done before Alois HaShachar. Seems to prove. The Rambam says fakert. So we'll have to see what's the pshat in the Rambam. So he says like this. The Rishonim explain it, but we'll see. The Hey Moimrim Igia Kiddush Raglov Ben Akiyo Venotel Machtes HaKesef Olo Hashem Izbeach Pinas HaGecholam Elach V'Helach. He took the Gecholam, he moved away the outer Gecholam V'Choto, and he took the inner Asamu Cholos, because it had to be the ashes, not the coals. That was the inner one, Apnimiyas. He took the mucholos apnimiyos, the yorad, and then he came down. Now Tosfos in Yuma says clear was done b'layla before Amud HaShach. Tosfos says that clear. If you look up the Rambam by us in Hilchos Tamidim Musafim, he says like this: Perk Beis Halacha Yud Aleph. Tor Minas Hadeshen b'chol yoyim mishigal Amud HaShach. After Amud HaShach, not before. Okay, now. The Rishonim over here say that they lowered the kir again. It's really a Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Chaf Aleph, says clearly, the Mishnah doesn't say, but the Gemara says they lowered the kir again. So the Mishnah Melech here on the Rambam asks, he says right here, he asks the Kasha, he says, the Acha she yamal ha-sakir l'kadosh yodav ha-raglov y'mishko yishuv b'shvil shal yifsal ha-mayim b'lina b'tchil ha-sayim. Ula ha-Rambam, ha-rei hoyo acha la-acha amun ha-shacha. So he asks, it was after Amud HaShachar. Menachas Chinuch asked this question as well. So why does, according to the Rambam, that this whole process was done after Alois HaShachar, why did you have to lower the kir again? Once you lowered it for the deshen, that was already at daybreak, halachic daybreak. It was still dark, but it was halachically day. That's his kasha. So Poshe Pshat, you could say, very simple. You could say that the pshat is like this. Really, the Rambam brings down that once you were mekadosh your hands from the kiyo, the kohen was mekadosh his hands from the kiyo. The Rambam says, right in the next halacha, he says, kivon shekidish yodov koidem shetala shemesh, ein tzorich lachzu lekadosh yodov achar shehir hayeh. What does the Rambam mean? There is a time frame between Alois HaShachar and the Netzach Hamad. Right? Rabbinically, mid Rabbonon, that Zman is still treated like Laila. Mid Raise, Kivon Sholom Uda HaShachar, it's Yoim, it's day. But mid Rabbonon, just like there's something we call Ben HaShmoshes at night, mid Rabbonon is a Ben HaShmoshes in the morning. And in the Mikdash, it's even more. Reb Yankov Zatzal had a gewaltige yesod, based on the Yerushalmi and Brochus. By the Korban Pesach, it says, Lois Yisiru Mimenu Ad Boiker. The Pasuk says, Lois Yisiru Mimenu Ad Boiker, in Parshas Boi. So Rashi says, why does it say again, Lois Yisiru Mimenu Ad Boiker? Rashi says, Bo Litein Boiker Lubkorei. That you shouldn't even leave it after the Alois HaShach. That means, you should. If we would have just said Lois Yisir Mimenu Ad Boker once, you'd say you could leave it until the Neitzach Hameh. It says Lois Yisir Mimenu again Ad Boker, Lois Losim Boker Lubukari. That's what Rashi in Parashas Boy. So if Yankov says that's our last, what do you mean? Midaraisa, Alois HaShachar is Yom. It's morning. Why do I need a new pasuk in Parashas Boy to tell you that you shouldn't leave the Korban Pesach after Alois HaShachar till the Neitz? Why would you think you have a window where you're allowed to leave the Korban Pesach? So if Yankov had a great chap, his chap was that Bizman Pesach Mitzrayim, we were still going. Right? So when you're a goy, the Laila is Hoylech Acharayim Shalfonov. The day changes actually in the morning. For Gentile, the day change halachically is in the morning. Which means, if a goy, let's say, would keep Shabbos and do Malacha Matzah Shabbos, technically he didn't keep Shabbos. That was a solution they gave to Gerim who did Mila and didn't do Tvila. So they had a question, are they Goyim or Yidden? Because they're in the middle of the process. So if they're Jews, they have a Chiv to keep Shabbos. If they're Gentiles, they have an Issa to keep Shabbos. So if Yenis and Ibishitz gave a simple solution, do Malacha Matzah Shabbos. That way, if you're a Jew, you kept Shabbos. If you're a Gentile, you did Malacha on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says, why do we find the Bein HaShemoshes at night and we don't find the Bein HaShemoshes in the morning? So the Yerushalmi says, because Bein HaShemoshes is a gvul, is a boundary of a day. So Yerushalmi seems to be saying that just like there's a twilight at night, halachic twilight, there's a twilight in the morning too. The reason why it's not recognized in halacha is because it's not a boundary of a day. So Bianca wanted to say, but Pesach Mitzrayim, where we were Gentiles. So the day actually changed in the morning. So there they did have a Bein HaShemoshes in the morning. So the Torah had to say, don't leave it over during that twilight zone in Pesach Mitzrayim. With this was Rabbi Yankov, he said, with this he also answered the whole idea of why we say, we spoke about the Shabbos HaGadol, why do we say, Matzah Shigim Shein Oichlim, Ashum Shalai Hispik B'tzeikim Shalai Yisein Ulahachmetz. Right? So the Ran asks, what do you mean? They couldn't have chametz. It's Pesach. We say in Agoda, right? They were rushed. So the Ran in Psochem says, what do you mean they were rushed? It was Pesach. They weren't allowed to have chametz. Pesach Mitzrayim was noyeg one day. So Yankov said, Pesach Mitzrayim was the 14th day and the 15th night, because they were still going. By the time they left Mitzrayim in the morning, it was Matzah Pesach for them. Because their one day, clearly, the 15th night was Pesach in Mitzrayim. Which day connected to that? So Biankov wanted to say that since they were still Gentiles at the time, so Yudalit was their Pesach. So when they left in the morning, they were goyim. They could have made chametz. Rather, they were rushed. So they couldn't make chametz. But if not for being rushed, they would have been able to make chametz.
There was an issur chametz for that?
Yes, for one day. The Mishnah says, Ma'abim Pesach Mitzrayim l'Pesach Teres. Pesach Mitzrayim was like one day, Pesach Teres is 7 days. So the Ran asks, so what do you mean they were rushed? They couldn't make chametz.
There was also an issur, not only a pi of a matzah,
there was also an issur chametz. That the Ran actually answers this kasha by saying that maybe Pesach Mitzrayim there was no Bali Rav Bali Matzah. There is a chametz, but maybe they will have own chametz, so they would have made sandwiches for the trip. They zecher couldn't eat chametz. He wants a chiddush. The Mishnah is mashma not like that, because the Mishnah seems to say the only difference between Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Teres, was that Pesach Mitzrayim was one day, Pesach Teres was 7 days. It's mashma Bali Rav Bali Matzah. They had. But according to Rabbi Yankov, it's Givaldik. The morning was Motzei Pesach. They were Goyim. The morning was a new day. So to some degree, in the Beis by Kodshim, it's always Halayla Hoylech HaChayim Sholfonov. You understand what I'm saying? By Kodshim, it's always that way. By Kodshim, the night follows the previous day. That's the rule by Kachin. So in a sense, between Alois and Nates, in the Beis HaMikdash is a very, it is a twilight zone in the Beis HaMikdash. So really, that's the Rambam's Chiddush, that once you wash your hands from the Kiyor, before Alois HaShachar, not before, after Alois HaShachar, you don't have to wash again by Nates, because you would think you do, because you're crossing by a twilight zone in the Beis HaMikdash. But now it's very clear. They lowered the kiyor because they didn't want the water to be from before the nights to after the nights. That answers the Rambam. In other words, the Mishul Melech and the Michas Chinuch are asking if the Aromas HaDeshem was done after Alois HaShachar, right? Why did they have to lower it again? Because it was before the nights. So with the Rabbanon, they lowered it. With the Reis, it wouldn't have been possible. But with the Rabbanon, it's now in the in-between zone. So they lowered it, so it shouldn't be possible in it. It's not such a problem on the Rambam. Okay. He got to the ground. And he went to the north. So in other words, he was still about 20 amas away from the Mizbech. Because he went to the bottom of the ramp. The ramp was 32 amas. And then he turned around back towards the Mizbech, 10 amas. He's still 20 amas away. So it's interesting, the Deshen, even though it says in the Pasuk, Eitzel HaMizbeach, he really wasn't right near the Mizbeach. It was 20 amas away from the Mizbeach. We shine him ma'ayman on this. L'chayre, the word Eitzel Mizbeach sounds like it was right there. So we shine him explained that we find by the Oyla, it says V'hishlich, he would throw the shell of the Oyla to the Deshen, Mokam HaDeshen. And Hashlocha is 20 amas. So that's where they learned that this was not right near the Mizbech, it was 20 amas from the Mizbech. Rochem and Akevish Leishet Tvochem, Mokom Shanois Nimura Asa'oif, Vedishon Mizbech Apnimi, Vedishon Amanai. That's where they would put the Mura Asa'oif, of the Oil Asa'oif, and the Dishon Mizbech Apnimi, and Dishon Amanai. Ask the Gemara, Mihavi Achsadros, were there rooms? How could they have built structure, extra structure in the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, the Mishnah said that the Kohanim went in these along these side overhangs in the Azara. So how'd they do that? For Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankev Emel, Minayin Sheinois and Achsod Rois Ba'Azara, Tamaloy Ma'alasita Lecha Asherah Kolei Tzeitzel Mizbach Hashem Legecha Shotaz. How were they allowed to do this? You're not allowed to have wood made by the Mizbeach. Most of Rishonim learned this is Issa de Rabbon. V'ochi koma, loisit lecha Asherah. Besides for the Issa of having an Asherah, loisit lecha kol eitz eitzel Mizbach Hashem Alekech. You're not allowed to have any kind of wood by the Mizbeach. The Gemara answers, b'achsad reshul binyan. Very strange Gemara. The Gemara in the Havamin is assuming the worst. The Gemara is assuming it was wood. And now the Gemara is Mamela asking, there's an Isser to have wood by the Mizbeach. Why would it be wood to begin with? The whole Azara was made out of stone. The whole Azara was made out of stone. Why would you think it was wood? The Gemara's epis assuming it's wood. The Gemara is asking Akasha, there's an Isser to have wood. The Gemara answers, it was taka made out of the same material as the Azara. No, the Issa de Rabbonon is to have any wood. Also, I see the Lecha Hashem. It's in the Rabbonon. Tosefes. So this is Lamaise, the bottom line. But it's like I'm saying, the shock of it, for some reason, the Rishon won't explain this, the shock of a time of our Gemara. The Gemara starts by assuming that it's the worst case scenario. That's probably wood. Now, why would it be wood? That wouldn't even fit into the Azar. Wood would not even fit into the Azar. The Gemara then says, no, it wasn't wood, it was stone. It's partial like that. The Gemara says, so the Gemara b'achsad reshul binyan. We're talking about achsad reshul binyan. The achsad of stone. That's the Gemara. So what's the habit? What's the maskone? So I think that the Pshanim in the Gemara, again, this, in the Rishonim, there's not really any explanation in this. I think that we could perhaps say a Pshat like this. You know, there's a big Shaila, what's included in this Isser? The Rivet asks on the Rambam, if you're not allowed to have wood, how did they have the Bima Shel Eitz, where the Kohen Gadol would read from, and by Hakel they built a Bima Shel Eitz where the Melech would read, right? How are they allowed to do it, right? If you hold all Azor is included. Some say it's not the whole Azor, but if you hold all Azor, some hold even the Habayis is included in this. So Shaila had on Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Alekech. No, I'm saying that's the answer that the Radvaz gives, that it was Arai. But this is the kasha they ask on Aram. So really, you could say it's like this. I mean, Israel is not like that too, because the Yerushalmi says they weren't allowed to have a sukkah in the Beis Hamikdash for the Kohanim to eat. Kodshim. They weren't allowed to have a sukkah in the Beis Hamikdash. Afloi sita lecha koleitz. Which is a problem on its own. But it's a big chiddush. That's zikha arai. That's zikha temporary. So we'll see what that is. You know, what's the pshat in that. But I would say it's like this. I want to show you a yireim. Yireim, let me just bring it up. The yireim in Sefer HaMitzvahs, he asked a different question. And his question gave me an understanding what's pshat in the Gemara. Really, Midrash said the Isra is only to plant a tree. No Isra to have a tree. This is to plant a tree. Midrabanan, they were moisir if you can't have any kind of wood structure. The Beis HaMikdash. There's another Isra, which the Gemara has not even discussed. Hakol biksav miyad Hashem alai haskel. You can only build a structure Beis HaMikdash according to the exact precision that it was given over. How are they allowed to make additions? Beis HaMikdash is not a place. Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring in a designer and make changes. Right? Stamakasha. A much bigger problem than the Gemara is dealing with. The Gemara is dealing with a Pesach of the Rabbana. We have a structural problem here. You can't add to the Beis HaMikdash Bichlal. So I was thinking, that's Pshat in our Gemara. Our Gemara right away assumed stone, it's not. Because if it would be stone, it would be an obstruction to the structure. In other words, it doesn't distort the binyan because it's not made out of binyan. Just like the Gemara in the beginning of Zvochem says, the mina machrev bo, the lav mina loy machrev bo. If you put something that's not part of the mina, it's not machrev. That's why the Gemara assumed that it was not stone. It must have only been wood. By being wood, so now it's not part of the structure. It's not bottled to the structure. It's a separate thing. Now, in fact, the Gemara is a smaller problem. The problem is the Rabbana. That's how I think we have to learn the Gemara. Now, the Yireim asked the Kasha this way, because the Yireim is going after the Maskon of the Gemara. The Yireim says, how did they have a stone thing? Hakul, he says, the Yesh Lisho. It's awesome. When the Gemara says Misaklin Sham Tikun Godl, the Yesh Loima, the Hayach Sadr Shobinyan Loim Huberes Peritzpo. They Dafka didn't connect it to the ground. They put loose stones on the ground and they put this on top of the ground. It was not embedded. That's his test. But normally, when you do a stone structure, it's... So you could say that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara right away assumed it couldn't have been binyan, because that would be a deraisa problem of hakol biksav miyad Hashem alai haskel. The Gemara, that's why I assumed it was wood. Wood still has a derabonan problem. You're not allowed to have wood. That the Gemara answers. It was achsad roi shol binyan. The way the Yireim is learning, it wasn't connected to the ground talk. Comes out of Chiddush from the Gemara that the Isser of Leisit L'cha Hashem or Koleitz, the Isser of the Rabbonon, is even if it's not connected to the ground. But that could be based on the Yerushalmi that says that even a sukkah would be also. Else the Din the Rabbonon of Leisit L'cha Hashem or Koleitz. Chiddush is that it's not a problem because it wasn't really embedded in the ground, so it's not a problem of Hakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem. That's what the Arayim is saying. So why wasn't there a problem now of, why was there a problem of L'Sit Al-Chot Ace? It wasn't embedded either. Vayis T'chois, that problem is even as such. Okay. Says the Gemara, how are they allowed to do the Chavitim? Says the Gemara, L'Chor is a problem of Koidim Tomit, before the Tomit. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So how are they allowed to do the Chavitim? You're not allowed to do anything before the Koidim Tomit? Says the Gemara, L'Meimlo, the Chavitim Avi Kadimi, for Tanya Minayin Shein Dover Koidim B'Mizbech L'Tomit Shol Shachar, Tamaloyim Avorach Ala Ho'ilo, V'Omar Rabo Ho'ilo Ilo Rishayna, the emphasis that the Gemara's teretz is simple, but it's really not so simple. The Gemara is a kasha, how are they allowed it? The Gemara is assuming if they went to the place where they did the chavitim, mistameh, they also brought the chavitim before the Talmud. The Gemara asks, are you not allowed to bring anything before the Talmud Shul Shach? The Gemara says, no, they were only heating up the water for the chavitim. Right? But really, the heating up the water of the Chavitim was really part of the Avodah. According to the Rambam, that was done in the Kli Shoras. The Rambam also heated up the water for the Chavitim in the Kli Shoras. Some of the Achronim even ask that according to the Rambam, it should be possible Lina. If it was done before Alois HaShacha, it should be possible Lina. But Al Koponim, L'chayra, this was before the, how were they allowed to do something which is a quasi avoida before the Gemara thought they actually brought the chavitim before the Talmud. So now the Gemara says no. They just heated up the water for the chavitim. They didn't actually bring the chavitim. But it's still l'chayra shver. It's still shver. Because even what I'm trying to say is even heating up the water for the chavitim is part of the avoida. Not only that, it's Doicher Shabbos. It's done in the Kli Shoras. It's part of the Avodah. It's part of the Avodah. So it's still a tremendous Chiddush. But the emphasis is, I think that the Pshat in this Gemara is like this. You know, there's a famous Shaila. What is the gather of the Isra of a Korban before the Talmud? What's the Isra of bringing a Korban before the Talmud? So, Lamaisa, we find that the Kohanim were standing on the Duchen. B'shas the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? They were saying Shila, when the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. Now, Yud Zayin Tammuz already was Batal HaTomid. So some of the Rishonim ask, how are they saying Shira? That means they brought some Korbanos. L'chayra, after Yud Zayin Tammuz, there should have been no more Korbanos. Because the Tomid was Batal already. If you're not allowed to bring anything before the Tomid Shal Shachar, right? So what's in the game? Talmud Shul Shachar. So once the Talmud was bottled, it should be over. So we're showing him a moment on this kasha. It's a swing in Erech in there. The Gemara says in Erech, let's get the Gemara says in Erech like this. Kishachor avabayas, hoyu akahanim, v'levim oindim al duchonim v'oim gemeshira. Ask the Gemara, "Hai shira my avidite? Oilos choyvim mihavi yitzayim betamos batal tomid el alav nedover." That's the Gemara there in Erechin, right? That's a pella. What do you mean? How could they bring in a dover? Ain dover koydim l'tomid. You can't bring anything before the tomid. It's a posh kasha. Now the emesis, they ask the same kasha on shlomim that you shech before the azar, the gates of the azar will open up. It's possible. Tape a clay that it's before the Talmud. So the answer is very simple. The answer is like this. You have to analyze what's the issue of bringing, and this is what's mukach from the Rishonim. What's the issue of bringing a korban before the Talmud? Shoshach. Is it an inherent issue that you now want to bring korbanos before the Talmud Shoshach? It's almost like the Talmud Shoshach is a matia to bring korbanos. Till you bring Talmud Shal Shachar, you can't bring any korbanos. That's one way to learn. If you learn like that, then if for some reason there's an oinus, and you can't bring a Talmud Shel Shach, you can't do it. Right? So then there'd be no issur. The issur is only so long that there's going to be a Korban Talmud, then there's an issur to bring before the Talmud. Right? If you learn that it's a matir, then if you don't have it, you're stuck. You can't bring it. But if you learn you're not allowed to bring it before, so it's almost the mitzvah's Talmud as kedima. You therefore can't bring anything before. So if you're not going to have the Talmud for whatever reason, you have an oinus, no Talmud, and a chanamah. So that's what you see from the Sugin Erechin, that once the Talmud was bottled, they were allowed to bring korbanos. Because then it wasn't koidim ha-Talmud. It wasn't before the Talmud. I said this svara in the opposite direction, l'gabi chodosh. The Vilna Gaon asks, the Gemara says that when Klai Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, there was an Issur Chodesh. Issur Chodesh. So the Vilna Gaon asks, what do you mean? It grew b'ptur. The grain grew before we got there. The halacha is if grain grew a third by in the hands of a goy, it's potter. Potter from Trumas and Maizras. So how could it be an Issur Chodesh? So I wanted to say that Pshat is like this. The Issur of Chodesh comes because you're not allowed to eat anything before the Korban Omer. The Omer is Matar the Chodesh. So there it works in the opposite direction. As long as there's a mitzvah to bring the Korban Omer, you can't eat the new grain. Any grain that qualifies for Korban Omer would Mimela be included in the Issur of eating it before the Korban Omer. Because it's not an Issur on the Chefetz.
So
at that time, but now we came into Eretz Yisrael. Now we had a mitzvah to bring an Omer right now. So now comes the Issur Chodesh. That's my whole point. In other words, if the Issur to eat the new grain is because of the mitzvah Omer, then as long as there's a mitzvah Omer, then there's Issur to eat the new grain. It's not inherent on the Chefetz. But I'm saying it's not inherent on the Chefetz. It's an Issur that's Neveya from the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Omer. So Mela, that in other words, sometimes it works l'chumra, this svara, sometimes it works, by us it works l'kula. Because if the whole issur to do an avoda before the Korban Talmud is because of the mitzvah of the Korban Talmud, so now if you don't have a Talmud, over there it works l'chumra by the Chodesh, because even though there was no inherent issur on the grain, once there was a mitzvah's Talmud, the same svara we brought by Tfilas Kalim. Remember, that the issur to use a kli before tefillah is not because the kli is awesome. It's because the mitzvah is tefillah. If Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that's why if a person has Shlomo Zalman Oinen, he could use a kli before tefillah. He can't eat machol sasurus, but he has no mitzvahs. So if the whole issur to use a kli before tefillah is as the mitzvah of tefillah, so he's part of an mitzvahs. So he could use the kli. And I brought, and it has many halachic ramifications. Because sometimes you could have a kli because of its size or because it's not able to be toiled. So what do we say now? It's asur or mutter. You can't toivel it. It's not toivelable. Now what do we say? Do we say now you're left with, okay, so I can't toivel it, so I can't use it? Or do you say now that I can't toivel it, I could use it? According to Shlomo Zalman, how much it's not choyel tefillah, now you could use it. And we brought another raya to this of Shlomo Zalman. The Ramah paskens, if you have a kli that belongs to a goy and a Jew in partnership, you could use it without tefillah. Why? L'chayra, the chaluk of the ownership of the goy, should mechayev tefillah. So the Beis Meir says, because you can't, you don't gain anything. You toivel it, and the goy's ownership still makes it problematic. So why don't we say stalemate? So you can't use it. Terence says, no. Once I can't be mechayev mitzvah tefillah, now there's no issur to use it. So the same thing in our sugya. The issur for a korban to be brought before the... So now you could say like this. This answers our sugya. Heating up the water for the chavitim, even if that was part of the avoda, since that was done before the zman that was roy for the talmud, that's not called koidim ha-talmud. The Gemara's whole problem was on the hakrava, because that's done by yoyim. That's done at a time where you could have brought the talmud first. That answers why the heating up of the chavitim is not a problem, even if it's an avoda. Because it wasn't as mad, that's why. Yes, I have somebody. I think somebody's waiting for me. Let's check my... Just walk me to my office, see.
I normally don't sell Chametz Gomer except whiskey.